And There are two very important actions that we need to take into account as we engage in study and practice of spirituality or Dharma. And these two actions concern cultivating proper motivation in the beginning of our study and practice, and doing proper dedication of our merits or virtues at the end of our study and practice. And so in light of these two important actions, I would like to remind all of ourselves to cultivate the bodhicitta motivation, that is the altruistic motivation seeking complete enlightenment for the benefit of all other sentient beings. As we cultivate this kind of motivation, of course, we take, if you will, personal responsibility here that I would like to become a Buddha for the benefit of all other sentient beings. And may I be able to become a Buddha soon for the benefit of all sentient beings. And I will also engage in the bodhisattva actions or activities that would lead me to the state of enlightenment. So by cultivating these series of thought, if you will, we cultivate the best kind of motivation as we engage in study and practice. And as we have gathered here together to educate ourselves about spiritual matters, what are the things we need to abandon and what are the things we need to cultivate and adopt, so we also feel that our participation in this kind of a teaching is also geared towards realizing complete enlightened state that really accords with cultivating bodhicitta motivation. So please take a moment to cultivate bodhicitta motivation. So as started off with what is called the six perfections or parameters of Bodhisattva's way of life. And of these six perfections, we already talked about the perfection of giving or the perfection of generosity or what is called dan paramita. And so right after that, we also started, talking about the perfection of ethics or shila paramita, or perfection of morality, if you will. And you may recall that, as I explained the other day, that the reason why the perfection of ethics is talked about right after giving is because giving is believed to bring us resources. Okay, and so, but we want the resources to be available when in a good state of rebirth, so that we will be able to use the resources and further our practice of giving. Okay, now imagine that we are very good in practicing generosity, and let's say the ethics is not in our equation, if you will, but then we could be reborn as a lesser kind of animal, okay? And the fruits or the results of our generosity could ripen, you see, in our life as an animal. So which means that we may be able to enjoy a little bit of the outcomes of the results of our giving. Then of course, as animals, we really cannot further our practice of giving. So if we would like to continue our practice of giving and other practices, then it's also very important and essential as well for us to find what we call fortunate rebirths or good rebirths as a human being, the kind of life that we have now and as a celestial being. And so that's why the perfection of ethics or Shila Paramita is presented after the perfection of giving, because ethics or Shila is considered as the primary cause for one to achieve a good rebirth. Yeah. And so that, so in a good rebirth and situations, we could still enjoy the fruits of the giving, and we can also utilize the fruits of the giving and further our practice of giving.
Chik pen da ane nimi ane chik sampe shebe tane ane chik pige le dito u chewe na ranglan ne shenlan de kule chao dito u chewe na ranglan penpa shenlan penpa sthanda chik pen da nimi ane shenbe kwa ne
So ethics, as I explained the other day, does not simply mean, for example, if we simply don't kill, right, any living being, that does not mean we are practicing ethics. Okay, simply not killing someone does not mean we are practicing the ethics of what we call abandoning killing. What is involved here, as I was explaining to you the other day also, that we reflect on the pros and cons, right, of killing and not killing. And so we think about all these matters. Okay, what are the problems and disadvantages, if you will, if we indulge in killing? Okay, and what kind of consequences will come about from killing, and what kind of harms are produced from killing? Then we think about if we don't take anybody's life or don't kill, we commit ourselves to that, then what are the consequences or the outcomes that will come about? Okay, and the benefits. And so as we reflect on these matters, and then we kind of commit in our mind that, okay, I'm going to, refrain from killing, okay? There's a lot of benefits. So when we make that kind of commitment in our mind, and then we refrain from killing, so then that becomes an ethics, okay, in our mind, and then we can say we are practicing the ethics of not killing or abandoning killing.
What did that stream side in Sunya did Shishawe, Tengne, and Matasalia, and Mikichubung, Stream Sopan, then the Sunya Yaris, or the Mikichubung, Stream Sunya Tia, and the Miku Jugita, the Mikuju, and Chevina, and Ranshin Gulia, and the Da Nova, Nagyun country, you may make it to the Banguina, Penyun country, you may dish, and Shimbe Tane, and Chick Lamada, and Chick Kenlock, and that take it to dinner, and the Chick, yeah. And Jim Miki Chu, and Jig Chia, and Lazo, and Janka Jig Samjo, and Chia, or the Jacobinic Jig Kenlo, Jangara, and Jig Kenny, and Tamja, and Chiawina, and Tim Miki Chu in Sudum, and did never song Shavatel, Miki Jung in Sudum song with the series. Or the energy, David Kenlo, Jangar, that and David Song Shava, and Jig Kenny, and Tamjan, and song at the Dan, and Jida.
As I mentioned the other day also, that there are different levels of ethics or different types of ethics. At a very basic level, there is the ethics of abandoning the 10 negative actions of body, speech, and mind. And so even in the case of these basic ethics, we think about, what are the problems that arise from indulging in the 10 negativities of body, speech, and mind. What kind of harms, these actions produce for the self and for the others? Because these are very detrimental actions. Okay? And as we kind of in our own mind deliberate about these matters, and then we commit ourselves not indulge in them, that is an ethical practice. Of course, we can also make that kind of a commitment in the presence of our spiritual gurus and Buddhas and Bodhisattvas and other holy beings. We say, now I have thought about the negativities of all these actions, and I want to make a commitment in your presence that I don't want to indulge in them. So by making that a commitment, I think, we have now taken the ethics from the gurus and the holy beings, and so this would make it, in a sense, much more beneficial practice, rather than in our own mind we commit not to do them, versus we make a commitment in the presence of an assembly of holy beings or in the presence of our gurus.
Kizugu and Tombala Sabatu, Kizugu and Tombe and Sungi Tate, rāngi kēlēng gōgō yōrēs kēlō tāgā nēshēngi rāngi kēlōngi tōmbāji tōgō tōnyō kēlōngo tōmbē sōngjī tētātē rāngi kēlēng sōng gōgō yōrēs bēnā yū kāntēchī lē sōsō tēwē nā yū tīgī yū tīlē tēwē chīnchē lā yū tīgī yū tīm sōng gō rōs bē tēnā shīng rāngi kīchū gō tōmbā tōgō tōnyō kīchū gō tōmbē tīng kārē nā tīgī rāngi sōng gōgō yōrēs
And I remember mentioning monastic ethics, which consists of novice monk and nun ethics, or the fully ordained, monk or nun, ethics. So these are the kind of ethics that individuals take in the presence of an assembly of, monks and the preceptor, who gives you this ethics. So once you make that commitment, then it becomes individual practice and responsibility to keep those ethics intact and pure. Okay, this is like when we move into a new locale or like a new country. So country has its own laws and rules and regulations. So it makes sense that when you move into a new society or culture, so you need to respect whatever the laws and orders of that society or locale. In the same way, once the individuals commit themselves to certain ethics, it makes sense for them to give the ethics.
Susla and Jing Yawa Chamazaya and Jing Magua, Tan Namin, Tatjing, Naso Gone, and Sumasha, Tapiawati, did his start on this Jig and Mandawi Yadozo, Jig Tan Naso Gone, and Sumak, that to had this.
So, regardless of what level of ethics that individuals commit themselves to, it could be the basic ethics of abandoning the 10 negativities of body, speech, and mind, or it could be the novice monk or nun ethics, or it could be the full ordination ethics, whatever the case may be. I think the essence of the ethical practice is once you have taken whatever the ethics you have taken, through all possible means, that one should keep one's ethics. One must not transgress one's ethics. One should find every possible way to safeguard, to protect one's ethics.
What did that system sung in an injured system Saturdays? So that Lug and injured Tomyata and Lug Tone and injured Tomyatris?
So all of these ethics, as I mentioned the other day also, they, if you will, fall under the category of what we call the ethics of abandoning negativities or faulty actions. Remember, we started off with three categories of ethics. So this is one of those these things which we just talked about, the basic ethics, or the novice monk or nun, or full ordination ethics. All of these belong to what is called the ethics of abandoning faulty actions or negativities. Nyeche, dambe shudim in Tibet. Nyeche means faulty actions or negative actions.
Wa di wala da chi chudu sungo nane ene gewa chudu gu chudum sin yitiris. Wa di gewa chudu gu chudum saate zo ane chi ta kandara pege ane zowe mikse di ane tangi gulung shiwa nane shingi ane zogwe chanchu gu gobang tobya gu chi do ane chi gewa ma jiwa ane gewa shiwa dang
I think sometimes we translate that ethics as the ethics of refraining from faulty actions or restraining from faulty actions rather than like abandoning, the literally translating here. And then another category of ethics that we mentioned last time is the ethics of integrating virtue or accumulating virtue. Kiawa chudi ji chudim. Integrating or accumulating virtue. And some of the examples that I would like to give of this ethics is when we make efforts to cultivate positive actions or virtues that we have not yet cultivated, okay? Or that whatever positive actions or virtues that we have already cultivated, we want to We do not want them to degenerate or decline. So we make efforts to preserve them, or we make efforts to enhance further our ethics. Like we want to develop our virtues further to whatever extent we could. So all these efforts we make, you know, constitute, in a sense, what called the ethics of integrating or accumulating virtue.
아 된다선다 다드네 아니지 신 안켜버진 된리야 아니지 차차야 초피야 어디 신켜버진 된다 차당 초피야 돼 조 스스로 땅 아싸게 랭이다 안 타베시도 안 봐 니 뭐 덥실어서 같은데 그 땜벼도 안에 도저베 지 덥시게 나는다 남생이 날이야 안 차세하다 도저 용거 요래서 땡게 총리야 도저 샤 샤야 하셔도 어디 차차야 다 아니지 그게 직계에 랑도고 내주소야 직탄상 공승지야 아니 직체는 가서 보게 체니 왔다지야 왔다 간다 또 뜨는 시야는 무슨 그 자와 탐지에는 계획 처리야 급소비야 돼 계획치도 그 지금 뜻에 그래서
So basically what we're talking about is when we make efforts to involve ourselves physically, verbally and mentally in doing something positive, virtue, So this is basically what called is involved in the ethics of integrating virtue or accumulating virtue. Some more examples that Geshe-la has given is that you know, out of a bodhicitta motivation, the kind of motivation that we just cultivated, which means we are seeking complete enlightenment as our ultimate goal for the benefit of others. With that kind of a motivation, you know, we make offerings to the altar or assembly of holy beings, or that we make prostrations to them, salutations to them. And so through these practices, you know, we purify our negativities. You know, the instrumental to purify negativities is applying what is known as the four powerful antidotes, okay, or the four opponent forces, some translate as Nyenpo Topshi. They are the four opponent or powerful antidotes. So we bring them into our practice so that our purification practice becomes very effective practice. And also we make efforts to engage in listening to teaching, study, contemplation, and meditation with regard to what we need to abandon, what we need to cultivate. So all of these efforts we make or generate, constitute, or they go with, if you will, the ethics of integrating virtue or accumulating virtue. And also in our everyday life, you know, whatever merits or positive actions that we do and accumulate, whatever insights or wisdom that we cultivate. So these are basically the two types of accumulation we are talking about, accumulation of merits and accumulation of wisdom and insight. So we also pray and make more efforts to preserve these accumulations within our mind so that we don't lose these things, right? So when we make effort like that, that is also the part of the ethics of integrating virtue or accumulating virtue. Now, of course, whatever merits that we accumulate in our daytime, when we dedicate it altruistically, say, by virtue of these merits, may I become Buddha soon for the benefit of all sentient beings, that kind of altruistic dedication is also part of this ethical practice of integrating
virtue. Yes. 지금 뒤에 응모실로 속봐 아니 지금 간다로 지금 신비게 삼 지금 장대 이주기 안르 말려발 신비게 안 지금 르 군대 라네 안 고송고 차와 군다 탐제 아니 그게 안 삼시 전주 전주 그 지름 나는 조그레스
So then the third category of ethics is what are called ethics of benefiting sentient beings, Semjin Tenje Jisudim, the ethics of benefiting sentient beings. So as you can imagine here, so this is basically oriented towards helping and benefiting other sentient beings. And so what is central to this ethical practice is we make sure that whatever we do for others, our actions and our way of thinking are not influenced by self-centeredness or selfishness. Okay? So that the selfishness is a part of this whole process. And we generate, if possible, altruistic thinking, or at least we generate kind-heartedness, for others. And then under the influence of kind thoughts, then we use our body, speech, and mind to help and to benefit others. And all such actions constitute part of the ethical practice of benefiting sentient beings. The main point I'm trying to make here is if we cultivate the altruistic motivation that whatever I do, right, I'm doing it, to reach complete enlightened state for the benefit of others, then every little action or the big actions you do, they really constitute part of this ethical practice of benefiting sentient beings. Another thing he mentioned earlier, which I forgot, is there's something called the four points of gathering sentient beings and helping them mature their mind streams. Okay? So that's also part of this ethical practice of benefiting others. So I think that will do with regard to the perfection of ethics or Shila Paramita. The next one is the perfection of patience or tolerance, Shanti Paramita. So again, we will say why the perfection of patience is presented after giving and ethics. The reason is that we may make a lot of efforts to be generous, to be kind to others, to observe our ethics purely. And so we generate a lot of merits or the virtues. But then if we are not patient, if we lose our coolness, or if we get mad or angry, it spoils the whole thing. Anger is such a destructive emotion. It depletes all our virtues. So imagine that, we accumulate a lot of positive actions through generosity, through ethical practice, but then at the end we get mad often and everything is destroyed, then we generate, everything is destroyed. So I think maybe our modern language is the balance would be zero. So we don't want that. Okay? So we don't want to see the balance sheet is zero at the end. And so we need to cultivate patience. So patience helps us to not only preserve our virtues of the marriage, but also facilitates enhancing our virtues.
What then does on that? The Kongjo energy gets a jump that here and your loving and banded our trouble and woman's wiggles. Can she guess a number and trouble is Chinda and Tim Jung Gawa Garas, Saba and Kijum Kijum teachers. Sumbernaji, and you trace a congregate say you tell ya, and it's a randa ji yende nyamba la chwa a rale thwe ji yende la chwa wa den de da ma ho ji song yo res an ji pge ji su su kyo an ji ji lang de an ji to pe yende to ma ma tho nye ge an ji ya ji ge se an chen chu sam ba la den de ya an chwa yin na an su su an ji ge wa ma bo na li ya an sa she ge an ji jin ba dang
So how destructive or detrimental is anger in terms of destroying our merits? Great Indian Buddhist scholar Acharya Chandrakirti, in his supplement to the Middle Way, Madhyamik Avatar Treatise, states, Geshe-la quoted the stanza from his memory, where it is said that supposing that the one we really get mad with is a bodhisattva, okay, now I think it's going to be depressing, but so is it bodhisattva, that our merits that we have accumulated for 100 eons through generosity, through patience, through ethics, a moment of anger directed towards and at a bodhisattva, it just completely depletes all our virtues. Imagine that. A moment of anger is so destructive that it's just, destroys the matters of 100 eons. 100 eons, not years, eons, we're talking about. So even imagine how long the word is, eons. In the Buddhist literature, we talk about, the destructiveness of anger with regard to virtues. So it depends upon who we get mad with or angry with, right? Are those the individuals who are on the same level as you are? Or are those the individuals who are on higher levels? Of course, a bodhisattva, even an ordinary bodhisattva, right, who is an ordinary, meaning who is not an Arya, transcendental. If we get angry with such a bodhisattva, it destroys, a moment of anger destroys merits of 100 eons. Okay.
간다르치 그게 만전이래 이제 예라 뒹근나네 탐 탐아 탐제적의 전주 침모스 대 뭐야 어디 깨졌다다디 다 좀 도구여 말했어 어디 마인 배다 간다 동 아 전주로 망을시베 깨지나 다 동이 되베 시로그 말씀 배 깨지나 간다 대 마인 배 깨서 간다 공덕에 좀 도구여 했어
So now we could ask the question, so then what kind of merits, could be destroyed by anger? Is it all kinds of merit or certain kind of merits or virtues, if we ask that question? And so there are two explanations provided here. So the most common one is that merits that we have not dedicated, towards enlightenment. Whatever merits that we have accumulated, but we haven't dedicated them altruistically to accomplish enlightenment for the benefit of all sentient beings, such undedicated merits, they could be destroyed by anger. Okay. The other explanation that's provided is that the merits which are not, if you will, sealed by the wisdom realizing emptiness. Okay. And so if we accumulate merit, and if these are not conjoined with, or if these are sort of metaphorically, speaking, not stamped by or sealed by the wisdom gone beyond, the wisdom realizing emptiness, such merits could be destroyed by anger. So it's not all merits, right? So either way, whichever way we take it, so the answer to our question is, what kind of merits could be destroyed by anger? Undedicated merits, merits not dedicated towards enlightenment, and merits which are not conjoined with or sealed by the wisdom realizing emptiness. Okay.
어떤 안직대 마음 투숨 간다지 얘는 텐데베 개와데 안지 랑원의 조와 안 중세 겸매 안 때네 따와 장가 민경 따유 삼제 삼대제 삼담배 원 안에 안 그게 깨졌대 안 삼제 탐제 안 저거 전주 고반 터야 거치도 안 대치도 안 교수적으로 쇼스단 데는 뭐시하는 다들 좀 야여 말해서는 중 매튼부 니는 니가 다 안 틈바 차가 열었어 소전 얌리나라고 대 삼일 당조제를 스타트로
So I just gave you the two, interpretations, explanations with regard to, right, what kind of virtues or merit could be destroyed by anger. Right, the most common explanation is undedicated merits. Merits not dedicated towards enlightenment could be destroyed. And another competing kind of interpretation explanation is that the merits which are not sealed by the wisdom gone beyond, the wisdom realizing emptiness. So now we could ask ourselves, so what do we do? There are these competing explanations, you know, what do I do with in terms of practice? This is how we do it, you know, how we can, you know, even resolve this issue, if there's any resolution that needs here, is that as we accumulate virtue or positive actions, we reflect upon what we call the emptiness of the three circles or the agents involved in creating virtue. Basically, I'm the one who is the doer. I'm accumulating the merit, right? And so I see myself as being empty of inherent existence. I don't exist in and of myself. Okay? The virtues that I'm accumulating also lacks inherent existence. They don't exist in and of themselves. Okay? Now the virtues that I accumulate for others or in relation to others, these others also don't exist in and of themselves. So we say these three circles or the elements or agents are empty of inherent existence. So we reflect on the emptiness nature of these elements. Okay? And then in our mind we say that whatever virtues I've accumulated, in reality, my virtues, I'm the one who's accumulating them for whoever I'm accumulating them for. Nothing exists in and of itself. But I dedicate this kind of a merit to become a Buddha for the benefit of all sentient beings. That's how now you have combined the two interpretations, explanations into. So when we practice like that, whatever virtues we accumulate, they are very safe and they cannot be destroyed by anger. Okay, have I made it clear? Okay, that's good. I mentioned the other day what is called the seven limb practice, the seven branch practice, the seven point practice. You know how wonderful translations we could do here. In Tibetan called Yenla Tumba. The last limb or the branch is called the dedication branch. Okay? This is what we are talking about, how instrumental and important it is to dedicate our merit. Okay? Whenever we accumulate merit, we must dedicate our merit altruistically. We want to reflect on the emptiness nature of our merits. Then it's fine. We have integrated both explanations and our merits cannot be destroyed by anger.
Okay?
So in other words, what we're really talking about here is we need to integrate the method and wisdom together. Bodhicitta is the skillful means of the method, we call upaya in Sanskrit, and the wisdom realizing emptiness is the jnana or the wisdom of the insight. Okay? So in our dedication practice, we are combining these two broad path, if you will, bodhicitta and wisdom realizing emptiness. And of course, to be able to do this kind of practice, and we really need to educate ourselves about bodhicitta and emptiness. And in the case of bodhicitta, you know, at this moment, assuming that none of us has got the real bodhicitta, what we can try to do is we develop the right understanding of what bodhicitta is, the altruism is, and then we generate our own mind in the nature of bodhicitta. Okay, this is artificial, no doubt. It's called the contrived bodhicitta. Contrived means it's not your second nature, you know, it's not there because that's how you are so cool. No, you're making a lot of efforts to generate your mind in the aspect of bodhicitta, but that's fine. As contrived as it is, you are very sincere here. You're not playing a game here. You know, you're not faking it out. Okay? You really sincerely make efforts to generate your mind into bodhicitta, okay, which fulfills this criterion of a bodhicitta practice. Now, with regard to the emptiness, I mean, you can't generate your mind into emptiness. Okay? So what we really do is we study what emptiness is, and we understand what the objective emptiness is. We reflect on what the objective emptiness is. And then we also say how the objective emptiness appears to our subjective mind. Okay? So by considering these aspects of the mind, now we are also integrating the wisdom practice, okay, here. Okay? So that's how now we can be cool practitioners, I think. He didn't say the word cool, but I like it, so I'll add that. Okay. So we combine the bodhicitta and the wisdom together in that manner. So as I mentioned earlier, that anger is a very destructive emotion, and it can destroy our merits or roots of virtue. Now here really we need to also talk about, if you will, the degrees of anger, the intensity of anger, if you will. So if we can talk about three types of anger, right, very strong anger, okay, that's a super duper anger. Then there is the middle one, kind of a mediocre, I don't know if that's the English right word, but it is the middle level anger. Okay. So you're kind of mad, but you're not going to kill yourself, a footnote. So that's kind of anger there. And then there is the what called the small anger, or you are kind of not happy, you know, you're upset. Okay. The kind of basic level anger. Now if your anger is of a low intensity, I say, it's the small anger, then what seems to be happening is it prevents your virtues from bringing their results quickly. It kind of pushes, you know, it's almost like if the virtues are going to be ripened soon, this low intensity anger somehow, you know, extends that duration, and it'll take more time for your virtues to be ripened. Okay. Now in the case of the middle level anger, it pushes the duration further. So it's like it'll take much longer time for your virtues to bring the outcomes of the results. Okay. Now in the case of the super duper anger, the really high level, advanced level anger, see, the anger can be at the advanced level. So if the anger is such advanced level, it can uproot your virtues. Okay, it can completely destroy the seeds of the virtue. Now what's happening is, when we create and accumulate positive actions, they deposit their latent seeds or the predispositions on our mind. Okay. The Tibetan term is pagcha, the latent seeds, the predispositions. Sometimes we use the word seeds. So the seeds of the virtual in our mind, and this, you know, advanced level anger destroy the seeds. So if the seeds are destroyed, they'll never bring the result, right?
Okay.
So if anger is that nasty, maybe we want to talk about what are some of the sources of anger. I think Buddhist literature talks about nine causes, or we call it sources of anger.
Yes.
I think it's more like what you call the reference objects for the anger. So number one is self, you know, or the I. It is in reference to I or the self, then we become angry. Okay, so the way it works is that I is so important. So then I think about this person X. Well, he, you know, harmed me a lot in the past already. Okay, so then that makes me angry because I remember all the bad things he did to me, or he or she. Okay. Well, he didn't stop doing it, he's still doing it, he's continuing in the present. Okay, that's really mad, me really mad. Okay. Then I know he's probably going to do it in the future as well. So you think about what he did in the past, what he is doing now, and what he will do or might do in the future. So reflecting on all these thoughts with regard to self, that we become angry.
Yes.
There are some other sources of our anger are, you know, what people or others do to our friends and relatives, the dear and near ones, right? Then we think about them, right? After me, who is the really most important one, then it's my friends, circle of friends and family. Yeah. Now we think that this person, if we label that person as enemy, well, this enemy harmed my friends and relatives or family member in the past. And he's still doing it in the present, right? And he will do or might do in the future. So that's how, as we think about our circle of friends and what somebody else we call enemy is doing to us, then we could get angry.
And
another source of anger is when people, you know, our good friends or help those we don't like, our enemies, we get angry, right? So we say that, you know, oh, well, those are the ones I don't like it. But these are the people who are too close to them, you know, and they benefited them before, they are benefiting now, and they will benefit, they are really buddy-buddy in the, you know, past and now and future, so I don't like it. You know, people who are on, not on my side, they're on the other side, that's the, my enemy's side, so now I get angry.
Don't 참말이야 아니 지금 미스와 간다 지 작성 보수야 당 아니 담아 지고들이야 아니 라리야 아니 추 막아와 용야 왔다 된대기 터낸다 공적 지고들 용고 요리스
So those are some of the sources of anger that we find mentioned in Buddhist literatures. And of course, I think to deal with anger, we need to reflect more on the faults of the, of anger. And it is explained that if we take a poison in our system, it can really disrupt our body elements, right? It can easily affect, you know, body elements, and then we feel so, you know, sick and all that. In the same way, when anger really arises in our mind, it disturbs, you know, our emotional elements, if you will. And not only that, we ourselves are not happy and, you know, look miserable. Now we make everybody around us miserable. You know, we are so inconvenient to them, make them feel very uncomfortable, inconvenient. And then if we get mad with others, who is going to love people who get angry, right? So now everybody else is kind of a little sensitive to us and, you know, they don't, you know, like us, really. And so these are the things that, you know, are related to anger.
What a loving tower to go almost to go to the Shinla Novatan, Tubetung, he chills, she is some banashi, and Shinla Novatan, and Kondo, and Chevina, and Taranga, and the Pamapingala Sova, and Tara and Ranga, and Tarkia, the Songyorista, Rangshin Samula, and Dongikines, Longam, Longa Masse, Tara and Ranga Pinga in the Ranga Tara and Tarkuyorist.
And great Indian Buddhist sage scholar Acharya Chandrakirti in his supplement to the Middle Way says, as Geshe-la quoted the lines from his memory, that anger is so destructive that it can really destroy your relationships, that anger can really even turn your parents into your enemies, your siblings into your enemies, and your best friends into your enemies, you know. So it can really spoil all our relationships with people.
What the Tigbe Nana, that Tibet Chichiri, and Congress, Missy Lashin, Tibet Yomayans, that Condole, that Teller, and Chick, Tibet Subchish, Condole, that Subchesta, and Chingy Miche. What are Ranchi Samuel Teleche, and there's a Teleche, what Yomaris on yours?
As great Bodhisattva Mahasattva Shantideva says in his Guide to Bodhisattva's Way of Life, Bodhisattva Char Avatar, that Geshe-la quoted lines from his memory, that, you know, of all kinds of negative emotions that we have, anger is the most destructive emotion, okay? In terms of, like, the destructiveness, it is the number one on the list of negativity.
What are the things that you have to do with your own? The things that you have to do with your own, the top, the things that you have to do with your own.
So if anger is so destructive, is there anything we can do with it, you know, or, you know, nothing can be done? According to Buddhist literatures, yes, there is antidote to anger, and that antidote is patience or tolerance. We call sopa in Tibetan. And so we need to cultivate patience in our mind so that we can prevent anger from arising in our mind, and patience can counteract our anger if it does arise in our mind. And we talk about three types of patience. There is the patience of not retaliating against those who harm us. I tell you, a whole long sentence to say. That's one kind of patience. There is what are called the patience of willingly accepting difficulties or hardships. Another kind of patience. And then there is the what are called the patience that's related to what we call contemplating or reflecting on Dharma or spirituality. So we talk about three types of patience. Okay? Patience of not retaliating against those who harm us, patience of willingly accepting difficulties and hardships, and the patience of contemplating Dharma. Again, I want to quote the great Indian Buddhist scholar Acharya Chandrakirti in his supplement to the Middle Way states, Kishala quoted the stanza from his memory, where Chandrakirti tells us that by retaliating against someone who has already harmed us, would that retaliation heal whatever pain that had already been inflicted on us? Okay. So he's kind of challenging us, you know, to think about that. Now the example Kishala gives is, let's say somebody out of anger, you know, hits us, with a stick. So it inflicted pain on our body. Okay. Now if we hit back, you know, by hitting it back, would that have healed whatever pain the other person has inflicted on us? If it wouldn't, then what's the point of hitting back? Because it is not doing anything to us, you know. So this is what we want to think about, to cultivate, the patience and not to retaliate against those who harm us. So we will stop there, and we would like to welcome a couple of questions. Yes, please.
Can you explain how many years are in an eon?
Okay. Can you explain how many years are there in a eon? That the keva sejor wa keva nali ya lord was seven among you hundred souls keva cheru.
Ta keva dala da keji da tik thangme sum sa da keva kya tik do al da kya kya. Tin de keva keva re le ne phar ke ta zu se de keva kya tik yu so la
da keva ne na ta lo se le chen ba se me do.
Keva
keva jo lo ja e.
Mau kewa linya dhila kya, kewa lindhi kya, kechin chikla.
Lo.
Kewa chik, kechin chik lingar wadda, harkaya da chik sa chyo rwad.
Ora really.
O dhila yan, chik kewa lindhi kya chin zwa. Ta kewa chik na la
kya. Kewa chik, ta ta ki, kondra kechi chik, kewa kya e, ene di zomza. Ta kewa kya sa, kewa chik li ya rindu chay rwad kha zoyo rwasta.
Ta, kewa chik li harkaya kya chik dwa la.
No so.
Tu harkaya kewa kya sa, tu chen ta chitan dhamma dhita sa dwa.
No so.
And
this is a little bit difficult for us to be even able to communicate. In the Buddhist literature, they do talk about different types of eons. There's something called intermediate eons, you know. So sometimes they said one eon constitute like 100 intermediate eons and things like that. But these are not translated into human years, so we cannot say, you know, how many human years are there in a eon, you know.
Do the ends justify the means?
Do the ends justify the means?
Even the small things, you know, I mean, or the big things, what if you have like a soldier in the war and he really, I mean, he's got a documented bad enemy, okay? Mm-hmm. And he believes in it, versus even punching out somebody who punched you. If you punch him back, he might not hurt anybody in the future because he finds out that people will stand up.
Okay. Okay, could the end justify the means? For example, like say, of course, what we are talking about is somebody punches into our face, you know, don't punch back. That's what we are teaching here. But what the example she given is, in case we kind of by punching it back, maybe that person might learn a lesson and won't punch anybody else in the future. So would that end justifies the means, punching back? I believe that's the question. So the question is what? To punch or not to punch? What I can say is, from spirituality point of view, Dharma point of view, what you just said, you know, that's not something we talk about. What the Dharma teaches us is be patient, and through patience, maybe we can teach a lesson to that person, not by punching, you know, back in the face. Okay, conventionally, he understands that. You know, if somebody bullies you a lot, right, you say, okay, this is getting too much, so I might just hit back, so he might learn the lesson and won't bully me anymore. So conventionally, that might work out fine, but from Dharma point of view, that's not the way to teach the lesson to the person. The way to teach the lesson is, we become a good example of patience, and through this our patience, the person might, and then of course, if the patient, there's a possibility for a dialogue, if the person is going to listen, so through dialogue and communication and things like that, so we hope to teach a lesson to the person, not through retaliation.
Kesi kusim nalandi, cik nawa kendi ugiti, sendi mewso tugu ya maris, namshi kholiya, ane cik ta toptan, chochong resin, nge nguris.
So, but this also we mean because why? Like hitting back may temporarily work out, right? Let's say you punch really a knockout thing, while the person learns a lesson and maybe not going to hit you back. But the thing is that in his or her mind, we haven't affected anything because that person sees another weaker person is going to punch him or her. Okay. So might not punch you because you taught him a lesson, or might not punch a more powerful person, but may punch because in the mind they still have that, you know, they haven't affected any positive change, you know. So that's why that kind of thing, you know, is not, in ultimate, in the long run, not working. I did see a hand over there. Yeah.
Why is it so important to dedicate a good action, to dedicate the merits of a good action? In other words, why can't a good action just be what it is?
Mm-hmm.
Why is it better to say, I'm doing this, and the merit of this will be for the benefit of all sentient beings, or mm-hmm. for the good health of my neighbor?
Okay. So why do we need to dedicate the merits? You know, couldn't we let the good, you know, action stand by itself? If you do a good thing, it's a good action, right? So why do we have to dedicate it, thinking altruistically, say, you know, may by the power of this virtue, you know, may my neighbors be happy, or may I become a Buddha for others and things like that. This is what I
think.
So Doing dedication is more like providing what we call protection for the good things we have done. Because even if you don't do dedication, whatever good actions you have done, they're good actions. You know, that wouldn't change anything. But if we don't dedicate our merits with the kind of things we talk about, then it is possible that anger might pop up in our mind and it could destroy the virtues, the good things that we have done. The example that Geshe-la gives is, let's say, farmers, you know, they plant good seeds into the soil, so hoping for good harvest. But it's not enough to plant in good seeds, because you say the good seeds are good, they should germinate. But there are so many other things that could prevent the seeds from growing, some lot of obstacles. Maybe the birds come and they dig out all the, you know, things like that. So they need to take care of their fields. So in the same way, once we have done good things, good actions, we also need to protect them so that they don't get destroyed. So the dedication is a way to preserve our virtues. Okay, please.
To whom are the merits supposed to be dedicated to? Someone in particular, and how is that chosen?
Okay. To whom are the merits dedicated to or for?
Semje tamje ge tondolen semge ge yores semje tamje ge semje tamje sta samdan da mabo yores bu chenju semge na ma she chenje ne samdan de ne semje tamje de an che bu rang ge an che ma he ba ta an che ma che mo ni we an che gam me wa an che de ge pa ma ne she ge an ge jing jang ma ni we gam me wa o de ge jing de an se ya ge che do da da zo be Susu Pama Tetik Pamaji in a bit. I could do in a Susu some Susu Zachim with Chair, not cutting the Kiwi Yomosho Dungi, Dungi Mateo Shot, Dewa Yomosho, and the court, Simna, the Tingut was. Then I think what the Nashing Ready Yoris, Simje Tamja Rana Zachim Bosonza, that Teda Chido, Yakiwati, Tedala, Diki Toyagan, Yuto Shostim, Moyoris, or Moya Zoro Kim Sedis.
So in the beginning, if we cultivate what we call bodhicitta motivation, the altruistic motivation, then you see, our dedication would make sense, that whatever positive things we do, we dedicate it to and for them, for their happiness and well-being. But of course, this is kind of easier said than, you know, it involves a lot of other thinkings. For example, to be able to cultivate bodhicitta motivation, you can't simply say, okay, that's what I'm going to do. And we need a mind training. That's why we learn the techniques to cultivate bodhicitta. And one of the ways to do is we establish our close connections and relationship with all sentient beings. And in the Buddhist literature, we talk about how all sentient beings have become our kind parents at different, you know, times. So if we can establish that closeness and relationship, and once we are really comfortable with that, we say, okay, we have that connection, then it's easy for us to remember their kindnesses. And now it makes sense that whatever I can do, even if it means just sending positive thoughts, I want to repay their kindness. Okay? So based upon this kind of a thinking, a line of thinking, that we cultivate bodhicitta motivation, altruistic motivation, and then at the end, whatever merits we accumulate, we dedicate, you know, for their well-being. You know? Because after all, I mean, we think about, let's say, if we really appreciate our connection with our parents of this lifetime, you know, how much sacrifices they have made, you know, how kind they have been, then in our mind it's very natural that I want my parents to be happy. You know, what can I do to make them happy? You know, and may they always find happiness. Nothing bad things happen to them. It's very natural feeling comes up. So in the same way, you know, we hope to cultivate the same feeling towards, you know, for all other beings. I mean, that's the line of thinking. Okay, we will stop there today. Thanks for your stimulating questions. Wonderful. And what do I have? Yes. We will do quick written prayers in English and Vietnamese first, and then we will do Om Mani Padme Hum a little bit at the end. Okay, I'll announce that. So let's do the English. O infinite Buddhas and Bodhisattvas, you are the embodiment of uncontaminated and immutable great bliss. Kindly pour on us now your blessings, rains of nectar from the great clouds, of your pervasive, pure, bright wisdom and compassion to eliminate our distress. We pray to you, an incomparable great hero, who has perfectly realized within his mind the threefold ethics, a pure essence of the extensive system of Tathagata's teaching. He who has raised the parasol of Dharma in hundreds of directions. Your body is a sun of all wonderful qualities, but all of a sudden it's set into solitary peace. You have committed before infinite Buddhas to work for Dharma and sentient beings. You could not have given up your commitment. However, your presence depends on the fortunes of disciples, for the power of dependent arising is inconceivable. Please reincarnate soon as a new light of Dharma, out of your compassion that never abandons us. Please return soon as a supreme spiritual guide, a treasure house of the immense teaching of Buddha, a voice that eloquently elucidates the teaching, that suits individuals' dispositions and capacities. Please return soon as a great Dharma king, who will be known in all directions for smashing into pieces a mountain of misguided teachings and views, through the power of your thunderbolt lightning of the three reasonings. Please return soon just like your previous self, an expert in the five major sciences of Buddhism, whose eloquent words and articulation of the teaching captivate the hearts of all the scholars and activate deep appreciation in pure enthusiastic mind. Please return soon as a spiritual guide, endowed with complete knowledge, kindness, and dedication, in regard to the perfect view, meditation, and conduct, one who facilitates the opening of the blossom lotus, that is the golden teaching of Tsongkhapa, by the power of the three infallible jewels, by the power of dependent arising of unchanging emptiness, by the truth of our pure thoughts and devotion, may all our aspirations be spontaneously fulfilled. So could you please do it in Vietnamese?
Ba lạc giới luật cốt ủy liên thân, của đại diện Như Lai truyền giáo, ngày nâng cao lòng vòng pháp đạo, tâm hướng phương lan tỏa muôn phương, báo thân ngài chói lòa phóng hại, sau bốn duyên nhập cảnh biết chi, ngài từng dứt Phật thể nghi, luôn luôn hoằng pháp toàn diện độ sanh, nay ngài hẳn không đành bỏ nguyện, tùy phước đệ tử mà ngài hiện thế, khi nhân duyên chẳng thể nghĩ bàn. Xin mau hóa sân thành ánh đạo vàng, từ khi mãi chẳng bỏ đàn vơ vơ. Xin mau trở lại là đại đạo sư, như kho tàng chứa kinh thư vô lượng, người tuyên giảng soi đường pháp bảo, thế căn cơ thiện xảo độ sanh. Xin mau trở lại là đại pháp vương, đường danh kim cổ mười phương tán đồng, phá tan núi hủy pháp lần tà kiến, tam đoạn luật xét nghiến sấm vang. Xin mau trở lại như thân đời trước, đắc ngũ minh kiến thức uyên thâm, luyện tài vô ngại lý giải pháp âm, học giả khẩu phục hàng tâm, thiền giả cảm nhận hồng ân nức lòng. Xin mau trở lại là bậc đạo sư, thiên tư thông thái mẫn tường tận tâm, chánh kiến định mạng chuyên cần, hương sen thế nhị hương lân pháp đàn, phổ tông khắc ba ý ngọc lời vàng, do thần được tam bảo linh ứng, do thần lực duyên khởi tư đương, với tánh không bất nhị bất trùng, do tâm lực trí thành cùng kính ngưỡng, xin cho sở nguyện chúng đệ tử được tức thời viên mãn.
Thank you. I have prayer request for Alan's mother, Pearl Sachs, who is not feeling well, and I'm sure there are others whose names are not here, so we want to think about them and recite Om Mani Padme Hum together. Om Mani Padme Hum. Let's do our dedication. I'm trying to remember something is happening next week. Annie is not here, so just correct me if yeah, okay, Anila. Okay, Saturday we said Palm Spring. We will go there to disperse some of Geshe-la's relics on the mountaintop. And but you can double check with Annie when she comes back tomorrow. I think the trolley or the gondola or whatever the boxes going up the hill. I think we have to be there by 1. And if you would like to join in there, so you could come and we will do some prayers. I think our monks will also be there. The monks are coming back and driving there, something like that. Okay. But Sunday we will have our teaching here. Okay. So please double check the information with Annie in case I misinformed you through my memory or something.
Is that information on the website?
Yes. I think, is it yes? Or maybe? Okay.
It's just a one-day event. People are going to drive out that day, prayers on the mountain.
But if we can arrange the logistics on the website so that we can get the details where to meet. Is that possible?
Yeah, if possible. If not, I think we did make, I wonder whether in the lobby we have some photocopied information or something, there. Because the last time I think Annie did that. But if not, bug Annie. Yeah, so that's it. Thank you. Enjoy your lunch.